Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today we have part one of a two-part conversation with John Shea, columnist from the San Francisco Chronicle and a regular guest here on thesportsvirus.com. But before we talk to John, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America, and you can also watch great golf there. Coming soon, the city of San Francisco will host the top 64 professional golfers in the world at TPC Harding Park as they play in the World Golf Championship Cadillac Match Play Tournament. Don't miss this spectacular event, April the 27th through May the 3rd. Please visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. And John Shea joins us. Before we talk to John, let's listen in to Bruce Bochy in the press conference after the game at Chase Field on Tuesday night, talking about the injuries that the Giants have sustained here early on and whether he's ever seen a rash of injuries like this so quickly in his career.
I can't remember now. It's it's probably something that's somewhat difficult to do, to lose three players. We have one first baseman on the DL, and hopefully Belt's fine. So, you know, we're going through a rash of them right now, and some things you can't explain, but I haven't been through what we're going through right now.
That's Bruce Bochy after the Tuesday night game, courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. And John, you heard it right there, Bruce Bochy talking about how he's never experienced anything like this. I mean, it started with Hunter Pence in spring training, and now it has graduated to Jake Peavy missing his first start of the season, Matt Cain going on the disabled list with the forearm strain. Peavy has the back issue right now, and they're hoping he makes his start on Sunday. And now Brandon Belt with a groin strain, and who knows how long he'll be out. What a headache for the Giants to start out the year.
You know, Giant fans might not want to hear this, but this reminds me of 1996. I mean, that was like 1985, one of those forgotten years in the history of Giant seasons. That was the year right before Sabian took over and turned him into a worst-to-first team. They had nobody healthy except for Barry Bonds. It was basically Bonds and a bunch of AAA guys in 1996. No pitching, no hitting, no defense. And that was the year they were so lousy that Bonds just said, okay, I'm doing 40-40. And sure enough, he did. He got nearly half his steals in September. And by the end, he just like slept through the final series in Denver. I remember seeing him on a couch at Coors Field in the Giants clubhouse. But that's what kind of season it was. I mean, just a bunch of AAA guys and Barry Bonds. This year, I mean, they're coming off a championship. Big, you know, big difference, obviously, but my goodness, it's Buster Posey and who else? You know, there's no Pence, there's no Sandoval, there's no Morse, Belt went down. So what kind of protection does Posey have? Hopefully more than Bonds did in 96.
You know, right now, Posey looks like he's poised for a Bonds-type year, the way he's swinging the bat. I mean, he looks so fresh up there, John. I mean, he went 3-for-4 in the game tonight. Actually, 3-for-3. Had a couple of RBIs. He's hitting over 400 in the first two games. But, you know, just compare him to what he was like in the World Series, where he just looked like he was completely worn out. What have you thought about him and watching him in spring training, too?
Well, I talked to Buster on the eve of the opener during the Bay Bridge series, and I asked him specifically about his swing. And usually a Buster interview is not going to be so intriguing that it's going to captivate you. But when you talk about his swing, he was pretty good, the way he broke it down, the way mentally he feels, and the timing was all right there. You know, he hit a home run the day I spoke with him, the first home run he hit all spring, by the way. And, you know, as we always say, numbers don't matter, right? Well, you know, it's nice to feel in the groove when the season begins. And from that conversation, it really convinced me that he was feeling pretty good. Now, yeah, that in October he was worn down, and it wasn't the first time he finished a season not so strong. But more importantly, I mean, he and Bumgarner worked hand in hand to a historical extent, and Posey's contributions go way beyond what he does in the batter's box. But, you know, who knows? He might be playing a little bit more first base with Belt out here, and you know, the different options they have at catcher in the outfield now. It's kind of a big mess, but the good thing is for the Giants that Posey is swinging well and is healthy.
We'll have more with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this. Today's interview is being sponsored by Toscalito Tire and Automotive. You have to admit, collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at six Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combined their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive, with four Marin locations plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo. Toscalito, more than just a tire store. What do you do now if you're Bruce Bochy, if Belt's going to be out for a little while? Because, you know, strained groin, I don't think you come back right away from something like that. And Travis Ishikawa is on the shelf as well. I mean, there are options here. I mean, you don't have a Mike Morris that could come in and play first, but you could end up moving Posey over to first base momentarily, you know, play Sanchez behind the plate, bring up Andrew Susak. You can make some different kinds of moves over there. What do you think is the best move?
And they have Duvall, who's a corner infielder, big
right.
slugger in AAA who hasn't proven himself
right.
in the big leagues. And Susak kind of banged up in spring training, lost the second string battle to Hector Sanchez. You know, they could view him as an everyday guy. But, you know, Brian Sabian, first and foremost, always looks internally. This time, however, you know, there are not many bodies internally. And you wonder how much, well, should I say Brian Sabian, or should I say Bobby Evans, the new GM?
Right.
Yeah, but he, as we know, I mean, Sabian makes the final call on all this stuff. And despite the title, Bobby Evans still isn't the number one guy. Sabian is. And then he reports to Larry Bear, who reports to the ownership group, and blah, blah, blah. It's a wide-ranging of views that they have before making any decision, especially, you know, a big move on the roster. But, yeah, they have some options. You know, it's not like they've been really active in trades, you know, in the offseason. They only brought in two guys. They were hoping to bring in a whole lot of other guys, you know, big laundry list of big-time names they struck out on, and they only brought in two, Aoki and McGee. But, you know, it's too early to panic, obviously, but it's not too early to kind of reshuffle and figure out what you got to do, because it's more than just the lineup. It's the rotation as well. And Jake Peavy isn't doing well either, by the way.
More with John Shea after this. Giants fans are settling for nothing but the best these days, so if you're in the market for buying or selling real estate in San Francisco, you'll want the A-1 real estate agent. Well, at McGuire Real Estate, the top producer is Robert Merriman, and I encourage you to give him a call at 415-351-4698 or check him out at robertmerriman.com. Robert Merriman is opening doors for buyers and sellers in the city, and his excellent service is never discounted. Whether you're a buyer or seller in San Francisco, you need a creative negotiator on your team. Robert Merriman at McGuire Real Estate is the man for the job. Contact Robert at 415-351-4698. That's 415-351-4698. Or robertmerriman.com. You look at 40% of the rotation going down in the span of the, you know, last couple of days hearing this news. And, yeah, Peavy, when he's been healthy, I mean, I don't think he's looked great. And, you know, now what do you do? You got Chris Heston coming
yeah.
up. I mean, you don't really have a lot of depth. You had Vogelsong as a, you know, a guy who hopefully could help you in this situation, but he didn't pitch well in this game on Tuesday night. So, I mean, all of a sudden this rotation looks like it's in shambles outside of Bumgarner.
Yeah, and let's remember, Arizona is not that far removed from Coors Field. It's a big-time hitter's park. And,
yeah.
you know, it's one reason Tim Lincecum isn't going to pitch one of these first three games. though it looks like he might be bumped up here. You know what? I think Lincecum really has to shine here in April and May. I mean, he came in as the number five starter, but after what I saw in spring training with Peavy, with Hudson, even, you know, despite Hudson's ERA, which wasn't bad, he's coming off the ankle injury. He's going to turn 40. You know, it's not really like he's a 7 or 8 inning pitcher anymore.
No.
Lincecum's 30 years old. He had a decent spring. It was the same kind of thing where you sort of wonder why he's walking the pitcher on 4 pitches. But later in the inning, he's striking out Tulowitzki on some zinger of a screwball slider changeup that just mystifies anybody who stands in the box against him. So it's there. And how many times have we said this? But he's got to step it up. And there's no better time than now. He needs to get off to a good start because there's no number two starter. There's Bumgarner and pray for rain. And that's a lot of rain to pray for, 4 days out of 5. But that's what happened in the World Series. It can't happen over 162. Someone has to emerge as the number two guy. I thought it would be Kane. But, you know, it's not going to be Kane for any period in the near future. So I'm looking at Lincecum, who seems to have his head on right, who seems to have, you know, pitched well when I saw him, well enough that I think he can, you know, turn it on in April. You know, I've said this many times before, but I just think, you know, it's got to be his time, because if not now, you know, never. This is his final year of the contract, and I don't see him coming back if he repeats the seasons we've seen out of him, but he's got to stay in the rotation. He's got to produce.
Well, Lincecum is always an intriguing piece of the puzzle, you know, not just because of his accomplishments, but also because of the mental part of what he goes through with his delivery. I mean, the mechanics involved, it's hard for anybody to really tap into it. And he went back to his father. I mean, that had to be something that at first, maybe that wasn't so easy to do because he had trusted himself so much, but he did it. That seems to be so important to him. How do you look at that? How do you view that as far as being so helpful to him?
Yeah, there was a parting of the ways between father and son. I mean, they were so close for so many years through Tim's childhood, through college, through minor leagues, through those first few years in the big leagues. And then, you know, Tim got to be the point where, hey, I'm a grown man. I mean, I can't always rely on my dad, right?
Right.
So he experienced failure. And this off season, there was a return with the relationship, and they did get back together. They did talk ball. They did work on mechanics, and nobody knows his mechanics like his father, you know, with apologies to Dave Righetti, but, you know, it's basically the father created, you know, pitcher, you know, from the backyard. You look at film of him when he was 10, and he had the same mechanics then. And I think that's important, maybe more important than any other, you know, father-son relationship on this team, you know, because he's so dependent on his father and he trusts him so much. And the father knows an awful lot about pitching, if you've ever spoken to him. I'm sure you have. But you know, in this case, listen, Tim is 30. You know, his velocity was decent. It wasn't like it was 88, 87. You know, it was low 90s. It was up over 90. And, you know, he's like a machine that needs a lot of timing, a lot of work to get into prime shape. And, you know, 6 weeks is probably good for him, but he did miss some time with an ailment or two. So, you know, he slept on his back wrong or something. You know, it set him back, but never did his arm feel, you know, any problem. So, you know, he's kept in shape, and he said he worked out as much as he ever has, and the time off in spring training, he said, you know, hopefully wouldn't be a problem because of all the work he put in the offseason.
That's part one of our conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Come back on Wednesday for part two. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.